Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 176. Tony here, and joining us in the inkwhiskey.com studios is Linz, Derek, Adam, and Matt. What do we talk about, you guys?
Well, we'd give you a lot of information about the Inhumans, probably more than you asked for.
A little bit of information about superheroes and kids.
We discussed whether artists should charge for autographs at cons.
And we had a really great debate about our favorite time to drink a beer.
And I also was able to say a word correctly.
Woo!
So with that, enjoy Drunk on Comics, episode 176, all new, all different.
Binge watched anime on Netflix.
What's anime?
Anime.
Oh, anime. Oh, yeah. I can't really hear
anime.
Anime.
She said it a lot. That's like Lumpy it. Space Princess, so that wasn't
watched,
actually her fault.
Death Note recently.
Anime.
That's fun.
Well, it's good to know. Now I'm glad that you're here in the studio.
Yay.
So we can record our all new, all different format.
With the same people.
Yes.
It's kind of the same way Marvel likes to use all new, all different. It's just like, hey, we're doing the same thing, just slightly different.
Yeah, we're just all wearing different pants than usual.
It's true.
It's how Marvel does it.
Well, we're wearing pants, so that's a start.
You guys are wearing pants?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Tony's wearing pants.
Yeah.
Kind of.
My PJs. But
such a classic.
It does need to be mentioned, though, we've had the same format for the past 3.5 years, and we're deciding to switch it up a bit. We don't know what direction it's going to all congeal into, but like I said, we want to do something different now. And with that being said, we're going to have more discussions, longer talks on subjects that we come up with. If there's any subjects or anything that you want us to discuss, research, and talk about, email us, Twitter us, get it to us, and we'll go ahead and we'll tackle those questions too. But there's a couple things in the news that we've seen, some beer news that we might be spilling out here, whether it's video games, whether it's tech, whether it's anything else, anything's game.
Yeah.
Except for spoilers. We're gonna try and keep the spoilers to a minimum with lots of warning.
We'll at least try to preface that it's
we're
gonna happen.
Yeah. With lots of warning.
Well, but the problem with spoilers, though, is like, you know, we could have the podcast, and we do try to say, like, hey, we're gonna talk about this subject. If we're gonna talk about a movie that just came out, right, then people should know. Oh, they're going to talk about that movie. They're probably going to have to talk about the movie.
I meant more along the lines on the comic arc.
I mean, after
this came out yesterday, most of you probably haven't picked it up yet. Guess who dies? Everyone.
True, but then just that's why we're going to try to give them fair warning of what we're talking about as well.
Again,
so they can save it for later.
With fair preface.
Yes.
We're
going to do a lot of things
time.
For the listeners to help them out on this new transition.
Because we love you.
Yes. But sexually. It might be a little bit easier if you're
sexually.
A little inebriated, too. That might get you through the transition.
I don't love you sexually. Just
you might,
Adam
though.
Does.
I will love you.
You could have
you
cute little ginger babies.
Oh, God.
Ginger babies.
Just like one giant freckle.
All I can think of is the South Park episodes with the small ginger kid. Don't have them. Marry an Asian woman, then you can't.
All I thought of when you said ginger babies was like, Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
It sounds like some sort of cookie.
Yeah.
Ginger babies.
It's like one of those like baby gingerbread men that you get in like the Vortman's rack that you can't buy in the sleeves.
Right.
You have to go to like a specialty grocer to get the cookie out of the random box that everyone touches the cookies in.
Yes. Yes.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Really? You've never seen the giant cookie box that just has cookies in bulk that you can reach in with tongs?
Yeah, it's weird.
Cookies.
They call it a cookie box that has cookies and it's a
You can get those little windmill cookies.
I think that might be a West Side of the State
say,
Dutch people
this is,
thing.
I was going to say, this is definitely a Dutch thing, because I didn't have it growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one outside of, like, Western Michigan eats windmill cookies, let's be honest.
But that's why everyone comes and visits Western Michigan. And,
to look at windmills, tulips, and drink a lot of beer.
Yeah. We got lots of beer here.
Speaking of beer, you know what my favorite beer is?
What?
Shower beer.
Oh! Thanks. Shower beer, that's a fantastic topic.
Yeah, I don't, you guys will have to expand on that.
I can't believe
it. Yeah, first off, how do you not know what a shower beer is? Secondly, I want to know what you think a shower beer is.
Well,
yeah.
I would imagine it's beer you drink in the shower.
God, you got it in one.
Damn. Yeah. Damn. Wow.
I mean, it could be beer that you drink at, like, a wedding
is it beer
shower or a baby shower. But
water from the shower?
There's not much thought into it. You nailed it right on the head there.
Got it in one.
Yeah. The title's kind of self-explanatory.
It is.
I can't imagine drinking beer in the shower.
Well, you've done the wine in a book in a bathtub, right?
Well, yeah, that's super girly.
It's like the man thing. It's like, you just do it quick. You get yourself, crack yourself a beer, go in and take a shower, crush a beer.
The best thing is when it's a really cold beer in a really hot shower. Nothing works better than
that's a problem I have, is because if it's going to get warm, I want to drink something like a stout. But you don't get many stouts in cans.
You kind of have to go for like an Oscar Blues 1050 or something like that. But there's no way you can drink that in the shower with enough time to not, like, one, pass out from the heat or still have hot water.
I always pull the All Day IPA. Founders All Day IPA is my go-to shower beer.
See, I'm more really, it's weird because I'm a really big craft beer person. But if I'm drinking a shower beer, it's going to be something shitty.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Always shitty beers, and I don't know. I think mainly because showering before going out to the party, so doing a little pre-game in.
You don't want
to
get crushed on your shower beer. You just want to get like a little bit of a warm up.
Oh wait, when are you guys doing this?
All the time.
Yeah. When is it appropriate to drink beer in the shower?
When is it appropriate to take a shower?
I was going
to
say I start my morning this way.
YMCA. Shower beer.
You can get yourself clean. You can have a good beer.
Honestly, we should pitch that. That may draw in more crowds for them.
I think it kind of ruins the family atmosphere if there's just drunk asses wandering around the shower. I'm going to send the sauna.
I think that's one of the problems YMCA had in the past was shenanigans in the shower. So.
Oh. Yeah.
But yeah, so I usually go something light and shitty because it's usually like my pre-shower before going out. Not that I go out anymore because I'm an old stupid man. But usually it's going to be like PBR, or like if I'm feeling real classy, a Miller Lite.
Is that just in case it gets tainted by your shower
water? Well, yeah, you're inevitably in the shower. It's going to get a little water in there. You don't want to dilute something good, but if you get water in a Miller Lite, shit, it's water anyways. Yeah. Right. So what's the worst that happens?
But the big thing is it should be a can of some kind, because safety first.
Yeah, and we're really promoting that you don't drop a glass bottle in the shower and stab yourself in the ankle and ruin your night.
We totally think you should drink in the shower, just not with glass.
Yeah, that's a bad decision.
I still don't get it.
Or a sippy cup lid.
Maybe it's a dude thing.
Also something you can do.
Ooh, or beer in a sippy cup. That's a good one.
I was going to say, one of the other ones that I've done, I had the rigging that I had, the shower head was up off of a rack, and so we had a crazy straw. That's what you guys call them. Crazy straw.
Yeah.
So we just put that in the can.
What do you mean, you guys?
What do you mean?
Racist?
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
I just thought he was taking a shower with more than himself.
No, yeah, well.
And somebody's like holding the can with the crazy straw behind him, and he's like.
I save water.
That's marriage material right there. Hun, you'll hold my beer while I'm in the shower?
Do you know what love is? I do, and it's with a crazy straw.
Can someone Google the closest Turkish bathhouse so we can have a drunk on comics?
Oh, there's one on Division.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well, shit, we're going to go have a shower beer drunk on comics party. We're going to really get to know each other.
That sounds awesome.
It's a Turkish bathhouse.
I don't know. I just know that there used to be Hubba Tubba, which is now the Hideout Brewery.
We much prefer you guys at the Hideout.
Yeah, way better. Much less skeezy.
Yeah.
The place is like the Alderaan of babies that were never born.
Oh. That's terrible.
That was bad. On that very dark, twisted note.
Yes, let's talk about a subject that we've all amongst ourselves have talked about in like numerous times, whether we're just chilling at the bar and everything or after watching some TV shows, and that's the Inhumans.
Oh, I love them.
Inhumans, yes. There's so much about them that some people don't know. Let's inform them, people.
They're not the X-Men.
They are not. And in fact, they fight each other a lot because they don't like each other so much. Also, always make me think of Pink Floyd, because they live on the dark side of the moon in most of the comics.
It's not the dark side of the moon, it's the blue area.
Blue area of the moon.
It's the dark side of the moon.
It's the blue man group.
When I started reading it, I was like 12, and that was the correlation.
Yeah, if it's the dark side of the moon, riddle me this. How come they can always see planet Earth from it?
Yeah. Dick.
Because they have special powers.
Oh. Do you know that?
They are inhuman.
They've got themselves in Uatu?
Problem solved. Yeah. Uatu just, you know.
They just have a giant, like, rear view mirror that they hold up so they can see what's going on behind them.
Mirror stick.
One of those, what are they called? The scopes. Periscopes. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Do you guys know what their genius name is?
Genius?
Yeah. Or whatever.
Genius name?
Yeah.
But there's not an
well,
I
you know,
there. Albert Einstein in human.
Maybe he wasn't in human. No, but you know, X-Men and mutants, they're homo superior.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Inhumans are called?
I don't.
In homo supremus. So now you know.
No homo.
No homo.
No, in homo.
In homo.
In homo.
In homo supremus.
So Tony, perhaps you could educate us a little bit about the background of Inhumans and where they came from.
Well, they came from
Earth.
We're about to learn something.
They came from Earth.
Yeah.
They did. They just, got experimentation.
Yeah.
And depending on the comic arc.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, true, because it has
like four or five different... Yeah,
we're going to probably go into some tangents on Inhumans, so if you get lost, just re-listen to us, because...
No, but the Kree...
Will become less confusing later?
Yeah.
The Kree pretty much have fucked with Earth for a long-ass time, which is kind of why Earth has always been like a pinnacle in almost all galactic story arcs within Marvel realm.
Right. It's very arrogant of us on Earth to like make comic books about Earth and why Earth is so important in the grand scheme of things.
We can kind of blame the Celestials for that, though.
All right, I guess so.
Also true. No, the thing that I find most interesting about most of the cosmic cultures hating Earth is that they've all tampered with us at one point or another, so we're just kind of like their lab rats. And so, like, now that we can do stuff, they're like, ugh, they're so inferior. And we're like, you dicked with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's your fault. We would have just been fine.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe. Little monkeys on a planet.
Yeah, chances of us, like, jumping up the genetic food chain would have been significantly less if you hadn't started dropping Terrigen bombs.
Yeah.
So, going back to what I was saying about the Kree and the Skrulls and all that. So they've had their ongoing war for forever, and the Kree's established some outposts around here, saw some life forms on Earth, thought maybe you should start experimenting on them. And this is where we have now in the normal Marvel universe so many people that have inhuman DNA, because they saw Neanderthals, left some of them to be, and those are just normal humans going down their side, and then they experimented on these other ones, and those became the first Inhumans. Now, you can have Inhuman DNA, but until you get the Terrigen Mist, or go through the...
Terrigenesis?
Yeah, Terrigenesis. You don't have any mutant superpowers or...
They're not mutant powers, they're Inhuman powers.
Whatever.
Copyright issues, man.
And so because of that, that's where we get Inhumans. And like I said, their backstory is very, like I said, it's switched so many times. It's deep-rooted. Their first appearance was in Fantastic Four. What did I tell you guys? Number 45, I believe.
It was 45.
Somewhere around
there. Yeah. Yes. Fantastic Four, number 45, December of 1965.
But a couple of the characters were in books earlier. I believe Medusa was in, was it number 36?
Yeah, and well, you they didn't have enough really powerful redheads in there because they kept killing Jean Grey. Sorry,
aww.
Lindsay. It's true, though.
I know.
So since then, I've always personally loved them because Fantastic Four has always been my, book and love. And so anything that's come from Fantastic Four, I've been very happy with within the comic book world. And now that they're blowing up more so than a Terrigen bomb.
Oh.
I was wondering where you were going with that one.
Yeah, well, in the comics, the mainstream comics, before... Secret Wars, so we don't know what'll happen after Secret Wars to retcon things. But there was a lost tribe that had been intermixing with humans, and when Black Bolt tries to jumpstart the race by...
Wait, who's Black Bolt?
Well, we'll get to who there.
As I pretend like I'm the listener that
doesn't
know what
that is. I don't know who Black Bolt is. Black Bolt, I think he was that DC character that had lightning powers, right?
God damn it.
Isn't that Static Shock?
Yeah, that's what they ended up naming him.
Black Thunder was another one of them through there.
So anyways, he released the Terrigen Cloud, which started going around the Earth and started waking up everyone's DNA. Now in the cinematic universe...
i.e. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is basically tackling...
Agents
and this,
of Inhumans, that's
and this,
much that
yeah,
show
yeah,
is.
It is now.
It's true.
Well, but what's neat is this is the first time that show... can be ahead of the movies.
Correct.
The first season, everyone kind of was bitching about it because it was lagging, but they had to wait until April when Captain America Winter Soldier came out for them to get to the really, really cool stuff.
Well, and then
stuff.
That show totally took off.
It was awesome. Yeah. Season 2 was pretty good, but mm-hmm. it's still kind of not really associated with the movies so much.
Right.
They do a little bit with Coulson. Oh, I've got this secret project where I'm rebuilding a helicarrier so that they can conveniently use it in the second Avengers movie.
Yep.
But that's about it. But now this is one where, with the Inhumans, they can actually... They're starting to lay the foundations for what the Inhumans are going to be like in their later movie incarnations. You probably won't see the Inhuman royal family, who we'll discuss in just a second, but you are starting to see that, oh, there are Inhumans. This is how their powers work. This is how they get their powers. And a really clever way, they just release some Terrigen into the ecosystem. Some fish pick it up. Then you get fish liver oil. So you're going to have a whole bunch of health nuts that are going to get Inhuman powers. So if you're not healthy right now and you think that you might be an Inhuman, you should start maybe working out, taking some liver oil. Cod liver oil or something like that. That's how you get your powers. Yeah.
Cod liver oil.
That's just the weirdest way, though, to spread spread it. In, but it's genius. It's a simple way
to
do
it. You need something that is worldwide distributed, and that would have gone really quickly without something catching it in the,
It's better than, I guess, doing it this way to make it, like, a real-life impact with, like, environmental issues than just having a magical cloud float around the world just randomly giving people powers.
I mean, we're Storm to go, oh, let's just turn that into a big hurricane, suck it all up, we'll shoot in the
she
atmosphere.
She would be a mutant, and that wouldn't be allowed because of
because
film
she doesn't
rights.
Exist.
Yeah.
True. Yes.
Thanks, Sony.
On that note, though, with the films changing gear a little bit, I think Marvel is really taking it the DC route, where they're allowing their comic book characters to have first life in the TV series and then launching them in a larger way coming up in their movies. And I like that Marvel's doing that, too. Though, like you said, I think that we're going to get a lot of these inferior Inhumans, I guess we'll call them that, as opposed to the more pure-blood ones who have been born and raised and used in their stuff, like the royal family. Black Bolt being their leader and Medusa being his wife.
Yep. So the royal family typically consists of Black Bolt.
Who never talks.
Who doesn't talk, because if he does, he will explode your head. He's kind of like the voice of God in Dogma.
Yes.
Right.
So,
yes.
He's Metatron.
His character is so amazingly complex because he can't talk. And I love that him and his wife have like this telepathic link.
Yeah, but he can have that telepathic link with other people. He can link it up. Because he did that with his son. He's done it with a few other people.
But LinkedIn, I still like that whenever he is written, speaking anything.
He was
it's
a big fan
a
of Instant
bubble.
Messenger
you
when
have
it
to
came
look
out.
In to see what he said.
Yeah.
But that still blows up an entire building. So that when he actually screams.
Yeah.
And I think we mentioned this a while back, but when it was the invasion, Skrull invasion, I think, and they were getting decimated by the Skrulls, within that was one of the best story arcs where the Inhumans had this gear. Blasters, all this stuff, that's all powered by Black Bolt.
Oh, that was
Bolts.
During Reign of Kings. The Reign
was
of Kings.
It?
Yeah, because they weren't here on Earth
for
the,
going
secret,
out to,
the
to
Skrull
their,
invasion.
Yeah, War of Kings. Cosmic, you know, things mixed up. But he screams into this, like, what looks like an ecto chamber, like, type thing that has all these, like, pipes going to all these, you know, gadgets and stuff here. And he's just, like, screaming into this. And he could destroy the world if he wanted to scream hard enough. So you see that, and all these people are getting these powerful suits to now fight the Skrulls. And then it's also that they're taking Attilan and they are going... No, was it Adelon?
I always mess
up that word. And he just says... What does he say? Go?
Mm-hmm.
He just says, go, 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 go. And you just see this, like, on the pages, this thing just fucking zooming. So you get, like, that sense of, holy balls, man, that's one powerful talker.
He would totally win The Voice every year if he didn't kill all the judges with his piece of voice. But
in the audience and most people at home.
But man, you know, for a theater practitioner, that guy can project.
He does do a good job with that.
So anyway, so you have Black Bolt, which is interesting that his name is Black Bolt because, like, none of his powers have to do with bolts. He's got some technology, like he's got this ambient electron blaster. But it's because his name, his royal name is, like, Blackguard Blackabolthith. Something like that. If I can't get real humans' names right when I'm talking about artists and writers, I don't think I'm going to get his.
Yeah, Blackguard Boltagon.
Yeah. Which is interesting because that's why he gets the name Black Bolt. But all the other ones get, like, code names, right? There's Medusa, that's easy to say. And we totally get her power. She looks at you, she turns to stone because she's a ginger.
Right.
Takes yeah. her soul. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so her Medusa just got has. Yeah, crazy hair. Then you have Gorgon, who also turns you to stone by looking at you. Now, Gorgon's got the power to basically make earthquakes with his big goat feet. And then you have Crystal. She's a Wiccan. She has elemental powers. And then there's Triton, who was basically introduced for merchandise.
Yeah, what is he's like?
He's like the bat sub. He's like the bat sub. Whenever you have an aquatic adventure, Triton's right there. He's awesome.
He's like, we're going underwater. Going underwater. I got this.
We're going to the desert. Going to the desert again. Okay, I'm gonna stay back in my swimming pool.
There's Lockjaw.
There's Lockjaw, who is my favorite because he's just a giant English bulldog that teleports you places.
No, he's not my favorite.
I was gonna say favorite. Not even a giant. Like giant is an understatement. Yeah. He's like 400 pounds. Like, he's an enormous dog.
he's fun. There's two more. There's two more.
Oh, yeah, Karnak.
There's Karnak, see? Karnak.
Ability to sense weak points in anything.
He is the ultimate, like,
he is the
douche.
Brother yeah. of Black Bolt, isn't he?
No, he's just part of, like, the royal family.
Yeah, because the way royal family works, it's kind of a loose term, but, like, Crystal is obviously Medusa's sister.
He's a cousin of Black Bolt.
Yeah, they're somehow, yeah.
They're the way that the royal family of England is all intermarried.
They're kind of really incestual.
But and then there's the brother of Black Bolt, who is Maximus.
Maximus,
and his power is basically he's crazy.
He's
but,
Maximus the Mad.
Yes, he's kind super smart, can build anything, but he also has like a low level, or he's got a level of telepathy that he can get people to kind of agree with his madness. The stronger the mind, the more he has to focus on it. But yeah, so he's really fun because at times he's trying to overthrow his brother, and at times his brother's like, dude, you just need some help. He doesn't exile his brother because he's a little crazy, because he's a douchebag and he sleeps on the couch and then drinks all of his beer. Black Bolt's like, hey, man, it's okay, you're family. So I think the royal family there is really a great example about why you take care of each other.
Yeah, I was going to say life lesson learned.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got that douchebag brother that doesn't have his shit together, give him your couch.
That's what though, and whenever you read about him, you don't...
Are you poking the Tony Bear right here a little bit?
I don't think Tony's noticing any of that.
Which is amazing. You just shit on your brother for 2 minutes and he's oblivious.
It's all right. Back and,
it's all right,
and
Maximus.
Edit this out.
It's all right, Maximus. I love you.
Hey, I don't know what I was going to say to that.
I don't know either.
Fuck aww. You, Matt. No, but I will say though is like, and everything that like when I read these characters, it all comes down to the writing. I mean, obviously the art is how they look, but their character interactions is within the story. And I love that whenever you see Maximus, you don't know. Is he helping out this time, or is he going to fuck him over?
Yep.
And it's 100%, it could go either or, where most characters, you know what they're going to do. You know Doom's going to fuck himself over, because that's what he does. That's his weakness.
Well, and the interesting thing is, he's a lot like Loki in his brilliance and his form of being, but he's not nefarious. Mm-hmm. He's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, he really doesn't know what his endgame is. He just, well, that would be neat. Let's try that.
Yep. I love it. He's a tinkerer.
Yeah. So that's the royal family, and those are the ones that we probably aren't going to see at all until a movie comes out.
Right.
Which I'm fascinated. The artist drew Black Bolt to look just like Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
20 years before he became popular.
I'm pretty sure Vin Diesel took that as a sign and an omen that he should totally be Black Bolt.
The thing that I also like that they explore within the Inhumans books is those that still look human and have cool powers,
right,
and those that pretty much look like freaks and mutants, and
which we're starting to explore a lot in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. because people are having such a hard time. They started with the Reyna character last season,
yeah,
and how crazy cool she looked,
yeah.
And within the like, I feel like there's only so many powers that you can do before you just say you're copying. Like, if someone turns into fire, oh, that's Johnny Storm, like. You can't really do it. Right. But if you give them fire and water, okay, it's a little bit different. But then you start getting into...
Steam. Yeah. He likes punk rock. We just call him Steampunk.
But there are some unique, powers within the Inhumans, as we said about Black Bolt. I've never seen another character across any of the, scopes of comic books that has that type of thing. Medusa, I don't really know many that have, pretensile hair.
No, there are. Her power is basically that all evil cloud spirit thing that like has tentacles that come out and grab you and pull you into the darkness.
Cthulhu?
That's basically her hair, except that when she grabs you, it smells like hair. And if she has a really good shampoo, it's not too bad. But if she's been having a hard day, it smells awful. So
better hope she has the urge to herbal.
But
guys, it probably takes her like a year just to wash her hair. It probably doesn't smell good.
And that's why they never go out on Friday nights.
Yeah. it probably does wash itself.
Just like, okay, let's wash hair.
She's having her shower wine, and her hair is just washing itself.
Remember in Access when she became evil, and so she had it all braided up? Like, that was to tell that she was evil Medusa.
Yeah.
Not a new costume.
I mean, I don't know if you guys have had long hair before, but when you have a lot of hair and you braid it up on your head, that hurts your neck. So she's a strong woman.
When I had a super long beard, it was the same way with my chin.
All right, but I brought this up because I think the person that has the most... Because
he's bald.
Tragic power of all of them.
Yeah.
Aldric the Door. You guys know who that is?
He's a door.
Pretty much so. I mean,
but he's not like we decided we're gonna make a machine and the door through it has AI and we call it Aldric. No, he was a person.
Door. Yeah.
He was a person whose power turned him into a door. That when you walk through, he sends you where you need to be.
Yeah, not where you want to go. Because half the time they're like, "Where are we?" Because they don't necessarily go where they think they're going.
He's basically the writer's loophole.
Ah.
No, he is the TARDIS.
Yes.
I'm not taking you where you want. I've always taken you where you needed to be. Mm-hmm. Nice job, door.
And that's the thing is, you look at this thing and you know that, like, most people just think, oh, that's part of, like, you know, the castle. That's just a gateway. No, that's a fucking human that is stuck there at all times.
It's a door.
Well, thank goodness that he doesn't have to, like, eat or sleep or anything. He can just be... And so now I wonder, like, is one of his other powers, is he immortal?
Probably.
He's a construct.
Well,
what would we have to roll for that in D&D to make sure that he survives?
Make sure he survives? Well, he's got resistant to all damage, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, because he's one of the founding, Aldric came up.
Yeah, he was one of the early ones, yeah.
Well, I have bad news for you. He's not immortal because he's dead now.
What?
Aww.
Yeah.
Did like, they film The Shining at their place and they picked the wrong door to axe through?
There's no something that was going on pre-Secret Wars, so I don't know if they're getting back to this story, but with the Scepter and that one dude,
was it Legion, or what did they call himself?
He called himself something like that,
yeah.
Where he has this rod that can change,
legacy.
And he can change people's powers. So pretty much he made him a humanoid, looked like he had a giant freaking head on that looks like the door, but... He became, and all he had to do was send Medusa and all these other people. He wasn't hurting them, but follow this guy's legion's
legacy.
Legacy, whatever. Yeah. And then he was going to help him out, and he did, until Aldric thought that was bad of me and pretty much killed himself.
So we don't have the loophole anymore?
No.
Well, we still have Lockjaw, who can teleport you anywhere you need to be. Just not through space.
Anywhere you want to go.
Yeah, that's true. He's a good dog.
He is. Man's best friend. Now, my question is, was he a human to start? Because that is never addressed that I've ever read. He's always just been this giant bulldog looks balls out cool.
You know what that means, though? To have inhuman DNA in a dog.
Right.
Oh.
See, and this is where I was going.
Oh,
somebody likes Skippy Peanut Butter a little too much.
Oh, no. Oh.
Never really thought about that. That is the only...
Well, I mean, there are a lot of other... I didn't present this earlier, but the Kree did all this genetic manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Was it experimentation, or was it, all right, you have the short straw.
Experimentation.
You go hang out with that hairy Neanderthal woman and propagate a species.
Wow.
Well, in any case, changing gears, the... So in different versions of Marvel's comics, like in Earth-X, we actually see the Terrigen bomb going off and giving everybody with their latent inhuman powers anyways.
Purposefully
in the Earth-X series.
Yes.
Which is a great read if you haven't.
It also has one of my favorite Black Bolt panels when he flies up between the Celestials and just screams into space before he gets killed. Yeah. So awesome.
Yeah, he was pretty badass in that. And then the other thing I was going to say that I forgot, who's going to help me remember?
What?
Damn it.
What else you were going to talk about?
Yeah, there was one other thing about the Inhumans and their powers and...
Currently?
Oh, and I remember. That's cool. So, do you guys remember back when they did a little quick 5-series Illuminati book?
Yes.
Oh, God, and everything so
they did in, and everything they did in that book, like, led up to the Skrull invasion. They led up to them having the Infinity Stones on Earth.
Yep.
One of the issues they had was about the Beyonder, and the Beyonder they determined, or they said in that book, was an Inhuman with mutant DNA. And ooh, that's why when he went through the Terrigen Cloud, it just super quadruple multiplied bajillion times his powers, and that's how he became a Beyonder. Now, I'm sure they decided, we're going to retcon that. But it does bring up the idea that, you know, they've talked about, why is the Terrigen Cloud killing all the mutants? I know specifically Quicksilver got his powers back after the House of M by going through the Terrigen Cloud.
Which... they decided that makes him Inhuman instead of a mutant.
Oh, that's cool then. Yeah. So he can breathe in the cloud.
So pretty much, they've already proved that he's not Magneto's son, so he's not a mutant. So that's true. Debunked.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, he's shared in copyright laws. So I mean, you can have him be an Inhuman if you say he is.
That's true. Well, and this goes back to, so the Inhumans are the new mutants, not the new mutants, but they are the new mutants for Marvel's, you know, comic books.
Right.
And one of the great thing about it is that they can come up with all these new characters. And that's one of the things that made X-Men great for so many years, is that you could create new villains or new heroes.
It was,
in the,
your imagination was the limit of the comic scope.
Charles Soule, I know, and Ryan Stegman and some other artists, when they kickstarted the Inhumans after the Terrigen Cloud, they said that was one of the best things that was fun about it, was like, we can make up all these new powers.
Oh, and there's been plenty of characters in the books and even in TV shows who were Inhumans who then became Inhumans.
Well, one of the things that I like about it is that whereas the mutants, they had to get their powers when they hit puberty, and therefore if you got like this 30-year-old mutant, you'd be like, where have you been for the last, you know, 15 to
17 years? Wow, you're a convenient plot device.
Yeah. How come we haven't heard of you before? How come Cerebro never picked you up on our radar? But with the Inhumans is now you can have people who are like 60 years old, and they go through Terrigenesis, and now they're like this 60-year-old bitter person who's got powers now. And they might go in any direction with it. Right. They might think themselves a hero. They might think themselves a villain. And I think that that was probably one of my favorite things that Marvel has done to generate new ideas in the past couple years. Well, so kudos there.
And we know, too, that the Inhumans generally have a longer lifespan, just as a generality, because of the Kree manipulation. So you could have somebody who's on their deathbed in their 90s who's exposed to these kind of things and gets a second lease on life.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the implications that you would have on somebody who has already faced and recognized death? And how wise that person would be as they are starting a new existence.
That's deep, man.
It'd be cool.
It might be too deep for Marvel, but
I don't know. But I don't know. You know what? In fairness, they could address that pretty well on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They could.
They have they with the major malfunctions of the father's brain through season 2, like, and how twisted and tortured he was as a soul.
Yeah.
I think that,
but he wasn't an Inhuman,
that.
Though.
He was not.
Yeah.
But they really showed the
duality of man on
that one. And I think that they're up to the task now.
Well, he was Mr. Hyde.
He was Mr. Hyde.
It was a science experiment.
Duality is kind of in the writing there.
Yep.
So, good times with the Inhumans.
So did you guys check out the new World of Warcraft trailer?
Which one?
It's just Warcraft.
Not the teaser.
Not World of Warcraft.
Yeah, because I searched for it, and I got the World of Warcraft one, which is for their game Legion coming out.
Which was sweet. Also.
Which was really awesome. They put a lot of production value into, like, the videos.
Yeah.
And I don't even care that, like, it's impossible for a human to wear that much armor and still jump 20 feet in the air. It still looks cool.
But they're big, like, ghoulish Gears of War men. So
I know.
They have all these muscles.
I'm getting so, like, pissed off at all these teaser trailers for the trailers.
Yeah.
And when I saw that one in the beginning of the week, I was still like, okay, I'm like, sold even on this. Like, I'm actually happy that they released it a little before it. But then seeing the full trailer...
Yeah,
because,
well, I was confused at first because I thought that there was actually human actors in the World of Warcraft movie, or the Warcraft movie, and so then it was all CG. I was like, I'd still watch this movie though.
they're humans, but all the orcs are not human makeup whatsoever. No, but
except the half orc.
Yeah,
they've cameoed this female half orc.
Good old Paula
Patton.
And
they definitely decided to make her significantly more attractive than most people imagine a half orc would be.
She rolled a good charisma score.
Apparently.
I saw one of the most hilarious things when the teaser trailer came out, posted on some forums of, it looks okay, but, I mean, their CGI has a lot to be asking for. And what it was a still shot of World of Warcraft, the first, iteration game. That's back so when funny. It used to be turn-based and everything.
I will say, from watching that trailer, the CGI looks good, but definitely does need some polishing. But that's to be expected for a trailer, for a movie that's not coming out till June.
Absolutely.
They have a lot of time to clean that up and make it look sweet.
This is all post-production
time
for that.
Well, have you seen the movie poster for it? You got one side you got the kind of red-faced orc, and then the other side you got the blue-faced human. My good boy, Travis Fimmel from Vikings. And I'm just looking at the cover going like, yeah, that looks like they just stole a poster from Vikings and threw his name on it. I am actually happy though.
Like, at first I was wondering why are they predominantly having this orc character on all the promotions coming up to this, and then to see that it's a kind of a good orc and it's like they're teaming up and yay!
Did you never play the original Warcraft?
Not World of Warcraft,
like the old strategy.
I started with Warcraft 2. I never got to play the first Warcraft.
Played the first one. I didn't have a computer at the time.
Is this based off that, what, they were friends?
No, but they always battle each other.
They
had to come through the dark portal because Draenor was dying and falling apart because it got shattered by an evil, warlock. Yeah. So, that's kind of why. They had to find a new home because their planet got fucked. So
it's kind of like a bunch of illegal immigrants coming in.
Tell us some more of your nerdy knowledge that you know.
I'm just going to hold off now, but I could go on.
The Traveler came.
My thought was this. I was like, a couple of these guys, they want to have peace. All right. It's not called Peacecraft, though. It's called Warcraft. Yeah. They're going to be fighting. So, in the Warcraft, the epic storyline of that game series and stuff is pretty awesome. Like, you could really have a novel. Game of Thrones style, even, with just how many times leadership changes and when one leader comes up, how they want to have war and stuff, and then another one comes in and is like, dude, let's have some allies, because if we fight everybody, we're going to get our asses kicked.
It's true, because through Warcraft 2, all the expansions, and then through all the expansions of World of Warcraft, stuff changed, but they've kept a fluid story through all of it, which is great.
That is true.
They did kind of retcon themselves a little bit,
but when you first made the game of, the top-down scrolling thing, not the MMORPG.
Yeah, the old RTS.
Yeah, you weren't thinking necessarily that long scheme, but even the retcon stuff that they've done has kind of been assumed and.
Yeah, you can change the past by altering it and changing the whole world by having some world-shattering event.
Time travel, man.
Yeah, science.
So there's that trailer that came out, and then there's this new trailer for Star Wars that I guess was overseas that also had more to do with the movie.
Oh, the international release.
Yeah, that one. Well, that's why I said overseas.
Did not see that.
I haven't gotten a chance to see it yet either. The internet's been blowing up about it. But I was more interested in the fact that that got launched out. And then, of course, the interwebs has allowed us to see that here in America.
I haven't gone to see what new information is in there and stuff.
Disney Star Wars has actually allowed a dying fan who's dying of liver cancer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Spindle cell sarcoma.
Ooh, that sounds so much fun. His name's Daniel Fleetwood. He got to see the unfinished version of
unedited.
The film. Yes. They posted it as unfinished because it's unedited. It probably had a lot of bad scenes in there. I mean, something about midichlorians, I'm sure.
Twice the Jar Jar.
I think that's been retconned.
Yeah, pretty much back in July, they gave him only 2 months to live with his cancer diagnosis. And, that's his dying wish to see this movie. And it wouldn't take Disney anything to do that except for the secrecy and everything about that. I'm sure he had to sign a lot of NDAs and all that stuff. But this is such good PR for them. But this is almost the basis of the movie Fanboys.
Yeah.
It really is.
Instead of the friends driving to it, we have the internet, so it went viral on Twitter.
Yep. Hashtag Force for Daniel was their big thing. The only thing that this story is missing is a really good brawl between Star Wars fans and Star Trek fans, which would have made it better.
And Seth Rogen with the giant Jar Jar Binks tattoo on his back.
This guy's going to be the shit. Jar Jar Binks!
So I don't know. When I first heard news of this earlier in the week, I'm like, man, I hope they do the right thing. And everyone in the cast, everyone's like, we've got to do. How could we not, you know, do this?
It's, like, I mean, the thing too is it kind of shows. Oh, Disney, you do have a heart sometimes,
right?
You're not just the
dark corporation. Well, I think J.J. Abrams had a big part in that decision.
I imagine if it were actually George Lucas doing this, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. You just hear. No.
I'll just lay here on my pile of money.
Poor George.
Yeah. Oh, we'll quick switch subjects for a hot minute on. Did you guys see the theory that makes the first couple Star Wars movies even better?
Oh, Jar Jar Binks being the Sith Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you watch through the Clone Wars series too, you only further believe most of this.
If that comes to be, I will fucking watch the whole series over again with a new light.
Oh, and a new hope. here's my problem, though.
Yay!
And this is what, like, the thing that bugged me most about Jar Jar was not the lame comic relief, because he wasn't that funny, but
right.
Fine, you have that character in just about every, you know, sci-fi, right. Fantasy movie. The thing that bugged me is that he is completely offensive as a blackface minstrel character, which, if you don't know what that is, then just look at how they portrayed African Americans in the old Warner Brother cartoons. It is that level of kind of like, really? You should have been better than this.
Well, that he's playing the stage. He was trying to make it seem like that so that it really came from not being the Sith.
Yeah, but it comes from a really dark place.
Yeah, exactly.
In entertainment history that you just don't need to go to. It's kind of like saying, like, we're going to do that thing that the Nazis did really well, just kind of because we're going to make it funny. Those funny things that the Nazis did.
Even if not, I would be happy if they delayed the movie for, I'll give them a month, if they somehow could, if they aren't already doing this, fit this in. It would make it so much better. Like, seriously. Like, there's fan pages going up all over.
Tony, but you can't delay the movie for a month because it's already sold out.
That's so true.
Also mm-hmm. entirely true.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the theory is Darth Binks, and that's what the internet's going by. And it's something that just needs to be read. But all the new memes and everything coming up of it. And seriously, with him with, like, a cape and cowl and, like, a Sith-looking... He does look kind of fucking evil, creepy, like...
It's that tongue. It's that tongue.
Mm. It is. No, and did any of you guys actually watch through all of the Clone Wars animated
series? I have not. It's...
No, I watched the first two seasons.
Okay, so later on in the series, they decide that, you know what, we're losing the focus of our younger audience. We're going to add Representative Binks in a gratuitous amount of episodes starting season 3.
Because it's worked so well for keeping the young audiences in the fandom.
You know, and it's and it did. So it worked again. And so, like, even I remember, like, I think like 4 episodes from the end, it was just Mace Windu and Representative Binks, like, had their own, like, two episode stint. Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You haven't seen him all season. I was like, all of season 6, I was like, he's not here. This is wonderful. And then he shows up as a major character in 2 episodes. And I just sit there and I'm like, you are the worst. I hate everything about your stupid face. But I do have to say that he's probably Force sensitive. Because, like, everything just happens in a super lucky fashion for him. Mm-hmm. And he just runs by his gut and instinct. And he always ends out okay. Which means he's probably, possibly... Force sensitive, which is a lot of the things that the article talks about.
Yeah.
Maybe this isn't dumb
evil
luck.
Mastermind.
Maybe this is
he's on like the Asperger's level of the Force.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. He's the
spectrum.
He's hyper aware.
Yeah.
He's the Force spectrum.
The Force spectrum.
Not to drop 2 Doctor Who references in this same episode, but he's the master because he's just way like 15 steps ahead and be like, I'm going to run around like a squiggly dude. Like, look, I didn't get hit by any of these billion blaster bolts that killed everyone else.
All right. Well, if he does show up again, I won't completely lose my mind, but I probably will lose some respect.
Did you see, speaking of Jar Jar Binks reference, did you see when Brian Posehn was on Conan O'Brien and about how he was talking about how, like, episode 1 ruined him and how it was his Vietnam, basically because of Jar Jar Binks?
Oh, jeez.
So if they could somehow, like, rectify that to make Brian Posehn happier because he's awesome, I'd be good with that.
Yeah.
But, my God, that movie shit on my childhood.
Pretty much.
I went went and saw that in the theater, and I was, like, broken after I walked out of there. It was so bad.
I was so excited for it, and then so disappointed. And
I mean, it really comes down to the last line of Fanboys. Hey, guys, what if it sucks?
Yeah. So, speaking of other things that people have done for kids, especially like Make-A-Wish Foundation, we've heard the stories, and we know we reported them here on Drunk on Comics, about Route 29 Batman and his tragic passing, and then how somebody else picked up the cowl. But there's also, back in August, the Aurora, in Aurora, Colorado, the SWAT team were doing some exercises. So they decided to do their, like, rappelling exercises at the hospital, and all the SWAT guys dressed up like superheroes. So as they're going down, they can, like, wave to the kids at the Children's Hospital, yep. Which really makes their day. And I've heard stories of people...
Window washers. Yeah.
Especially Spider-Man. It's a great costume for them. So those things are really cool, and it makes me really happy, and especially that kids can still get, like, they still have those heroes out there. So... even though we as adults sometimes, you know, shit on comics for being like, well, that was kind of dumb, and, well, why didn't those characters do that? You know, I think we need to remember sometimes, too, that there is still a kid following for it, and sometimes the kids are more important for believing in these characters than maybe what we want them to be as adults.
Well, right. So. We were all kids, probably, when we started believing in these characters.
And some
we just became bitter.
Some of us are just grown-up man-children.
That's true. Tony.
And then, and the other thing of that is a lot of us really want our inner child. Like we're in a particular interesting sociological group for people who are in their 20s to 30s right now. We're all reliving our second childhoods.
Like, it's true.
All of this stuff is super popular again that we used to do all the time as kids, and it's like, oh, there's a new Power Ranger movie coming out, and so
we're super excited until we see it, and then we're like, I hate you.
I know, right?
But I hate you, Michael Bay.
But we all get excited about them all the same. We're allowed, and it's considered acceptable for us to stay children at heart as we're maintaining. And I would like to see the long term effects of creativity.
Yeah.
Like whether or not we're going to end up being happier if we can keep dreaming these big dreams, like by jumping off buildings wearing superhero costumes to make kids happy.
Mm-hmm.
With ropes.
Yeah, we
not safely. Safely.
You can't fly.
They're happy 15 seconds until Spider-Man goes splat into the
ground.
Aww. But you know, like I think too, like. Well, and I know I'll talk about this in the future, though, but I watch so many kids' superhero shows because of my kids.
Oh, sure.
And
you
how
watch
many
them
of,
without your kids. Let's
that's
be
true. Many of them you can.
Yeah.
And that's a discussion for another day. But you're right. There's this reliving of our childhood. And it's okay. It's actually kind of cool to be a dork. And I remember when it wasn't cool to be a dork.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was still a dork. So
my dad is a huge nerd. It's probably shocking. I came from a huge nerd. But the nerds will inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening.
That's why they always said be nice to the D&D kids in your school, because someday they'll be your boss.
Yep.
That's true.
So.
Yeah, take that, Mike Pierce. except Mike Pierce was the cool kid that played D&D with us, and he was very quiet about it, closeted. In fact, this one time we're playing, and the doorbell rings. He goes, who is that? And we're like... oh, didn't you know, Mike? We invited your girlfriend over to play. Shit, guys, hide the shit. He grabs his books, puts them on his lap. Even though the table is still covered with dice and figurines and other books, he's sitting there, like, hiding it like we're not going to notice or anything. Years later, or our senior year, he talks to one of the teachers who says, you know, D&D is a really good game. It keeps your mind sharp. You're doing math. You're talking to people. It's really a good game. He comes to musical rehearsal because this guy can't admit that he plays D&D, but can totally admit that he's in musical theater. And says, like, you know what? I play D&D. And all the guys were like, that's so cool. I've always wanted to play this game. How do we know? And he goes, you know who knows a lot more about this game? Matt McKay. And so he points to me, and all us for a moment, I was cool.
Because I had one moment of validation in high school when somebody else went, this is for you, kid, and threw me the jersey dripping with sweat.
Mike Pierce was like 6 foot. I mean, he broad shouldered, like good looking guy. He is your stereotypical jock in high school and stuff.
Thanks, Mean Joe.
But yeah, but a nice guy because we used to talk about comic books and play Dungeons and Dragons together secretly. So I hope I didn't out you too much there, Mike.
Aw.
Hope you're listening.
So we're moving on. Next subject. I'm sick of hearing about your past, Matt. So I read an article. Actually, it was probably about a month ago now, about charging for signatures at cons from the artists and the writers.
Ooh. I think somebody's going to do that pretty soon.
I think Derek just got real happy for that little plug.
Little plug. But should artists be charging for their autographs at cons? There's the side that says yes, they're artists. They're taking time out of their day to come and placate the fanboys, you know? Mm-hmm. They should be making some money off of it.
But they are. They get paid to be there.
Not all of them.
But not all of them.
The big names do. They're the ones who charge.
Those are the ones who charge the most.
Right.
Yeah.
Stan,
how much did Stan Lee charge for his autograph?
Well, that was
$50.
Only $50?
$50 per autograph.
Oh.
Neil Adams, big on that. If you go and you see Neil Adams at a con, which if you go to a con, you will see
pretty much going to see Neil Adams. If it's big
yeah,
at
all. His signatures are $30 unless you buy something from him. And then his signatures are free. Yeah.
My personal thought is, some of these big names, yes, they need to somehow. They can't be signing stuff all day every day.
Right.
Charging makes the con some money because that also goes towards their fee. Stan Lee to be at a con is like two, I'm making this up now, but I think 200,000. So we'll just go with that. That's not all.
I'm going to come up with a number between one and a trillion, and that's how much he makes.
I'm going to roll the dice here. And
so
see.
How are they going to pay for him to be there? See, right. Unless they actually charge for that,
right.
Where other people's speakers' fees or whatever they're there, give them a table, a hotel room, right. Whatever, give them some cash. I see it's a double cash grab, though. For some people that are buying the art that want to just have a signature, I don't know. I find it a little bit, yeah.
Well,
you have even some smaller artists who, they'll sign it because they're just happy that you bought their book.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and this isn't even, so like Stan Lee, you have to buy an autograph ticket to get an autograph from him. Neil Adams, you just walk up to his table.
Right.
But if he's going to sign something for you, you
have
to give him $30 or give him $70 or whatever for one of his prints.
And don't want to just slide out Neil Adams because, I mean, he
is
the main person
in the
article.
Biggest example.
Well, we always see that.
Yeah.
But he's also got broad shoulders, so you can handle it. So.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that, still, if they're your fans, at least sign a copy. Like, I would go up to some people. I'm not in the need of collecting and stuff, but I love my Stan Lee signed, you know, Fantastic Four. If I had an artwork, you know, or Batman book or anything of Neil Adams, I would like to say, hey, you're like an idol. Could you sign this? I'm a poor, broke person that barely got into this con. Can you sign one? And if not, that's kind of dickish.
Right.
Well,
right.
But it's also the argument of why they should. Maybe they should charge. Is it's an economic issue. They have now just added value to that thing that you have.
Right.
And some people are going to take that $20 collective number one issue, because it's probably only worth like $20 or something, right? And it's now been signed by the artist or the writer. And now we're going to take that, and now I'm going to go sell it for $60.
Right.
Right? So they have made a profit on you getting it autographed. Now, the downside of that, though, is in order to – now that person has to spend more money to get it authenticated that it actually was their autograph and stuff. So
that's the thing, though. For those people that get it authenticated, put that into the price of authentication because you know you're doing it to get it thing. For me, I don't care. And for other people who are just little kids that – I really like your comic book. Can I get a signature?
For other little
kids?
Yeah. Anybody else catch that? I just want to throw it out there. You totally outed yourself.
Tony with his little beanie hat. Tony with his beanie hat and his
little swirly dude.
With his Boy Scout outfit and stuff. He looks really adorable.
You know what I'm saying.
No, I completely agree with
that. Hairiest fourth grader I've ever met.
No, I really do agree. And then you on the other side of that, you have writers like Otis Frampton and Dirk Manning, to give a shout out to those two, who are more than happy to give a copy of their book with a signature to some child.
Oh my gosh,
who's super into it. Like, and that's the point I would like to reach out. How interesting would it be to have people accumulated a con where they're focused more on just generating the positive vibes for that kind of stuff, like, you know, like a good heart vibe.
Well,
con.
So
at
C2E2, and it wasn't all of them, but a lot of them, Scott Snyder, Jason Latour, I'm not sure if Rick Remender did it too, but instead of charging for their autographs, you could make a donation to the Heroes Initiative.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's something too.
And it wasn't mandatory, but yeah. It was pushed. Yeah. I mean, they weren't like, "Are you going to throw money in my box here?" But yeah. It was.
And it's going towards a right. cause. It's not going into their pocket.
Yeah. Right.
I like I said, I personally, even though I'm more on the cheapskate side and don't want to pay for that, I do. Shut up. I do understand the reasoning behind that. As I even defended Stan Lee of why he has right. to do that. But it hand in hand, you need to make, you know, some concessions either ways.
Right. Yep.
And if you're going to do that to every little 8-year-old kid that comes up and $30 kid.
So that's an issue. So does it, because some of these bigger names that charge money, they don't like that the other artists don't charge money. And it's not that they don't charge as much money. It's just that there are some artists or writers, they don't charge anything.
Right.
Right.
And so these people who feel like, well, I do want to charge, now get into that, well, am I generating bad publicity for me? Am I coming across being a money-grabbing, greedy person and stuff? When in reality, they're like, the economics of me being here, I need to get paid. I need to make some money at the con. Right. Like you said, yes, some really big names are being paid to be there. Not all of them are, though.
Right.
And so it does create this issue of like
paying.
Yeah, some of them are paying for their booth to be there. And they're usually the ones that aren't going to have lines of people coming to see their work. So there is this issue of like the overall economics of the con. Because it does just keeps coming back to
this. Maybe they could be less shittier artists. Maybe they sell more stuff.
You read that.
Totally kidding out there to people.
Man.
Who
sell
a lot of stuff. But.
No, and you know what? And it's also, they might not sell a lot of stuff yet. Yeah. That's the big thing, is that these are a lot of the people that are growing and on their way. That's why, like the two that we just mentioned, they don't give out all of their books for free.
No,
but you know what? There are times where they will.
Yeah, but those are like charity. Like you know what? That kid's really cool. Yeah, I can.
No, absolutely. We know many. And that's a good delineation of that too.
We know many friends though that are artists that aren't working on big books. They're not big names in the industry. I mean, amongst us, they're our friends, so we know who they are. But they still can generate money because their art sells. It's just. It's not a prevalent. So to say that all artists need to then sign their you know, pay for even more than what you're buying, I just don't get it.
Okay, but most writers and artists, if you do buy something from them, they're happy to sign it for
right.
you. Because you bought something from them.
Yeah,
it's the people who come up with an entire stack of Deadpool comics and then wants them to sign every single one.
Do you not think, though, some of the lower, you know, I don't want to say tiered, but, you know, people that aren't on the big books that have a smaller publishing book going up to them, that they wouldn't be fucking giddy of like, oh my God, this person wants my autograph.
I'm sure they would, but it's a matter of, okay, so you didn't charge, so then you make me who did charge look like an asshole when all I'm trying to do is put food on my table. Like, that's where it gets into like a, this isn't an easy subject to say that there's a clear moral thing to do. It's economics. It's
right.
It's their job to write these things. They get paid to write and draw for a living. It's not that much different to say that they're getting paid to sign that work. And
well, back in old Derek's day, they didn't charge.
Yeah, but that's because everything was written on stone, and they didn't have money. No, they bartered for it.
Yeah, they just
traded three goats. And a
I have a daughter I want to marry off to you. Will you inscribe your initials on this tablet?
Can you autograph my Ten Commandments?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. This whole moral ambiguity makes me want to drink.
Yes. That's what we like to do here. And even though we're all new and all different, we're still keeping the good old standby.
Booze in a book! Brought to you by InkWhiskey.com!
Yeah!
That was almost commercial quality.
You are welcome. It's
amazing.
Almost bartendo time!
Oh, it is almost bartendo time, isn't it?
It is.
So excited about that.
They said December, so we're hoping.
Just in time for Christmas.
Oh,
you know,
I wonder if they planned that.
I'm going to crush some Kegaman double pints, though,
there
and pretend it's one beer.
Adam, we should have some Cape Fear Punch.
Oh, God, not again. I couldn't see colors for a week.
Oh. This sounds like a story that we'll get into maybe later.
Possibly.
So I have A Train Called Love, number 2. You guys will remember I did this number 1 for indie.
Is this one just as fucked up
yes.
as the last one?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yay.
Good.
It's by Garth Ennis and illustrated by Mark Dos Santos. So I'm not going to go into the book at all. It's fucked up. It's crazy, crazy stuff going on in here. very smallest little tidbit of information. I mean, there's a girl who catches her boyfriend watching horse porn at the beginning of this book. So, you know.
It was Catherine the Great.
I am Catherine the Great, I am. Catherine the Great, I am.
Actually, I think the computer screen said it was like something five, Black Beauty.
Yeah, she walked in and immediately said, nay, nay.
Did you watch her whip?
Oh, no. So, much like this is going right now, I'm pairing this with Trainwreck.
Yay!
Yeah, from Mountain Town Brewing.
Yes, yes. Trainwreck is, it's such a good beer. It's, like, sweet. You want to keep drinking it. It's 8.2%. It'll get you fucked up.
By a horse.
Quick.
Like you've been kicked in the head with a horse.
The nice thing in that beer
kicked
is...
Kicked in the head with a horse or by a horse?
The two of you are together, man.
Potato, potato. I don't know.
There you go. I didn't even have to... You guys already just paired it nicely for me. So, yes. A Train Called Love number two. Train wreck. Everybody knows. Train Called Love always ends in a train wreck.
That's sad. A series that I'm somber. Real excited
to. Right there with you, buddy.
Particularly because of the cover. There's this horse smiling, and then two people in horror behind it.
Yes.
One of which not wearing pants.
Like me.
So, you know, pick it up. Have a train wreck. It's a good old time.
All right. Well, that does it for our first show.
Oh, I got a plug real quick.
Oh, well, I guess it doesn't.
Sorry. I got a plug. I promised our good friend Dirk Manning.
Oh, right. After we just mentioned him, we could probably be nice to him for another second.
His Tales of Mystery number 3, he's releasing free online, page by page. He's doing the first 4 pages starting tomorrow. So you can go online, you can get the first 4 pages of the first volume of Tales of Mystery number 3. They don't have the website.
It's on the Devil's Due
link yet, but you can go to Devil's Due. They'll have the link there. Of course, if you follow Dirk Manning on any sort of social media, you will see it in spades tomorrow on Facebook, Twitter, email, anything like that. So go check it out.
Sweet. Thank you, Dirk.
All right. Well, leave you all with the final thought. Quote from Dr. Seuss. Words and pictures are yin and yang. Married, they produce a progeny more interesting than either parent.
You said all of those words right.
That's a first.
I was really surprised.
I was waiting for, like, progeni or something.
Seriously, there have been, like, 6 times where you've said words and Derek and I have looked at each other and gone,
I don't think that means what
I don't think that. I don't think that means what you think it means.
Well done, Tony. So you surprised them all.
So that's our all-new, all-different podcast. You guys
thank
have
you for the profound moment from Dr. Seuss. That was very kind of you, Tony.
You guys have a good week. And stay thirsty.